Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it is a glorious day to be talking golf, and we've got a lot of it to talk about. Certainly what happened over the weekend up in Canada and the historic putt by Nick Taylor that we'll get into. Also, Adam Hadwin had a little bit of an issue as well that we'll talk about at the same tournament, at the same time on the green, and we'll discuss that. We have our good friend Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio, who happens to be Canadian as well, on the call, and he's going to be joining us here in just a little bit to not only tell us about the excitement of it all, but being a Canadian and what it means, because it literally came down to a 72-foot putt, and it was almost, for every foot, there was a year, 69 years, since a Canadian had won the Canadian Open, their national championship. So a lot of drama there, and Mark will fill us in on that. We certainly have to talk a little bit about the merger, the LIV, and PGA Tour, what that all means, and down the road, just a little bit, time-wise down the road, later this week, the U.S. Open, the next stop of the majors for the professional golfers. And I say that meaning LIV guys will be there, and there'll be a lot of talk about the LIV guys and the PGA Tour guys and what all it's going to mean as they play at LA Country Club. So yeah, golf all happening this week. So a lot of stuff to talk about. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. Did I cover everything, Frank? I mean, I probably missed something somewhere, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We are out.
Yeah.
No, you pretty much covered it. I mean, you didn't cover the indictment of President Trump. You missed that one.
As he's
at Bedminster on his golf course, and they say, you've been indicted. Okay, great. Now, just let me know what I need to do.
Yeah, can you get out of the way?
I'm trying to putt. Yeah. And anyway, what an exciting tournament. This could not have been the most jam-packed, crazy week in golf. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It was nuts. Yeah. Everything, just every day, something was popping. And, of course, the big merger, which is not a merger, and LIV is not merging with the PGA Tour. It is a new co, which is an Advent Corporation, whatever you want to call it right now, because there is no name. And it will be the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia.
I mean, that's a bit confusing to people. It's a merger in the sense of the Saudis and the PGA Tour have come together to form whatever it's going to be entitled. And so that part of it is merger that people are talking about.
But there's nothing but a memoranda of understanding right now. That's out there.
Well,
so it could all blow
up. That happens a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. Sometimes it blows up, but that is exactly how a lot of mergers happen before it's
official. I've been through three of them. So,
yeah. You know, I mean, it kind of comes out in trickles and starts, and they had to do something. And by the way, to talk about that a bit, I can't talk about it without saying how poorly it was handled by the PGA Tour and how it's infuriated and caused a bigger problem than they probably anticipated, not just from the merger and who we're now working with and who we're going to get checks from and all that, but the fact that these guys, meaning the PGA Tour, the top players, find out from their buddies in a Twitter feed and Frank Bassett calling. That's how they found out about this.
I called Todd that Lewis hurts. The second it broke and of Golf Channel, Todd Lewis. And he answered the phone. He said, I just found out the same way you did, Frank. He said, this is nuts. I went, wow. Yeah. So four guys basically kept it an uber secret. I don't know how they did it. It's much like the formation of the Federal Reserve in this country, how it was done by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They all took separate trains, if you recall. The Creature of Jekyll Island is the book. And it's all them sneaking around to have meetings privately to form a central bank. Same situation here. They've just formed a central bank, basically, called the Public Investment Fund. Here's the funny thing. I had one of my buddies out at my country club this weekend. Of course, everybody was wanting to sit down with me thinking, oh, yeah, Frank knows everything that's going on the inside of the PGA Tour PIF deal. I said, guys, I know as much as you do. Okay, They just don't tell us anything. But the funny thing about it was, they said, are they going to call this the Saudi-backed PGA Tour?
Seriously.
And I went, yeah, wow, no.
Because
that's all you heard about LIV.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, well, you know, things happen, things change. The PGA Tour was about 140, 150 million in the hole already.
Yeah.
And one of the things that most people don't realize, and we won't get too deep into this, I'll just make one comment about the pension fund of the PGA Tour and under a 501c6 is what the tour is. My understanding from my financial advisor is that that fund was vulnerable to lawsuits. It was not protected under the structure of the PGA Tour. And that's what got everybody really nervous. You could have wiped out that pension fund. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
He was telling me that hypothetically could have been, could have occurred. And then you get some of the players going,
Yeah. Now you're touching my real money. And that's, again, part of the mystery of all this is we're still finding, and we will continue to find more things and hear more about really what's going on. And as it trickled out more after the first initial, Monahan basically saying, we were going deep in the hole. And financially, and nobody really saw that happening. They're like, we're 50 million into this lawsuit with the Saudis, which had not even gotten to court yet. And the Saudis are more than happy to drag it out. They flipped the table on the PGA Tour, who was notorious for, in any lawsuit, outgunning you, right? And saying, okay, yeah. Frank, you want to sue us? Let's see how long you can last, right? Well, that got flipped on them. And how long can you last? Well, PGA Tour, after 50 million in attorney's fees and everything else, couldn't keep going. And we saw how they found new sources of money, Frank, right? To get the elevated events.
A couple of pillows, getting under bids.
Suddenly you got $20 million purses instead of $10 million purse. Well, that was coming out of their reserves.
It was.
The PGA Tour. And they found, okay, so now we're going, the PGA Tour is going, we're running through a lot of money here that we can't keep doing.
Well, and then they went to the sponsors and said, okay, what you're going to have to do instead of the 12 or 14 million or 8 million or whatever it may be, for the tournament sponsorships, you're going to have to pony up 20 in 2025. Yeah. We can last maybe through 24. That was prior to all the lawsuit money that was going out the door.
Right.
So the tour was, the well was going dry.
Yeah, they had to make a move.
They had to do something. And thank God they did. I mean,
and to a lot of people were saying, okay, and that was what the LIV Tour thought would probably happen all along. And again, flipping the table, PGA Tour, in a lot of lawsuits, and they've been in lawsuits with players and foundations and everything else, that they've basically thought, well, we can outlast you. So go ahead, sue us if you want to sue us, and it's not going to work out. You can talk to Hank Haney about that, right? He was in a lawsuit with the PGA Tour.
Well,
and it gets
BJ
very,
Singh,
very costly
people,
to
yeah.
sue somebody.
It does. But, so, you know, it's...
There you go.
Anyway, it is what it is. It's been talked about in nauseam all week from every talking head out there. And I don't think we have a lot to add to this at this point. I think what you do is you just keep your ear to the ground and out there, listeners. And if we hear something, we'll tell you. We'll fill you in on our opinions about it when a little more comes out. So we can form a real opinion as opposed to smoke and mirrors right now.
Well, and see how it all, because again, here's how they presented it. And you're going to be like, okay, will that be the way it is in 6 months? And I'm pretty sure, no, it won't be, exactly. And part of that would be who's in charge, who's not. I don't know how Jay Monahan continues in the role he's had after all of the comments he's made. These people, everybody's human. And at some point, you get called names enough, Monahan towards the royal family and the whole Saudi thing. At some point, are you like, okay, now you're my partner and I'm supposed to like you? I don't know how that's going to work down the road, right?
Well, they play golf together, he and Yasser.
And who's got the money, right? And you know as well as I do, Frank, in any kind of merger business deal, if Frank goes into business with Tony and Frank puts in $90 and Tony puts in $10, guess who makes most of the calls, right?
Well, Yasser will be the chairman of the board.
And so that's the Saudis.
He'll be the chairman of the board of the NewCo, which will be a for-profit corporation. They're in the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, will fall under that. And good gracious, somebody's, what in the world is going on?
There's crickets.
How in the world did that happen? Somebody's calling me from Green Cove Springs, Florida. I think I know who that is. Sorry about that. Anyway, it's a mess. It's crazy. It's who knows what's going to happen. But with Yasser as chairman and Jay as CEO, last time I checked, when I was CEO of a company, I reported to the chairman and the board.
Right.
They could fire me. Now,
everybody's got a boss. Right?
Everybody's got a boss.
There's so much money that they're going to put into it, and the PGA Tour and Rory and everybody else who had to eat crow basically are now saying, well, the money, you know, it's really going to make the game better. And I go, well, that's what they said.
Wait a minute.
Liv said way back when, this is all to grow the game, make it better. And you kind of poo-pooed that and said, no, well, I'm not making the game better. You don't care. Now, all of a sudden, all this money is a good thing for golf, right? Same money. Now it's a good
thing. Well, here's the one thing that we'll leave our listeners with before we take a break and bring in our special guest from Canada. Greg Norman heard about it the same way we did.
That's bizarre.
Wow.
That's bizarre.
Wow. I mean, and Liv was never mentioned in the CNBC interview with Jay Monahan and Yasser.
Yeah.
So who knows? Now, Jay did have a meeting on Thursday of last week, a Zoom call with 200 folks, the employees of Liv, telling them that 23 will continue. We're good to go. 24 is going to be great. And 25 is going to be great. Right? We're going nowhere. Everything's I've heard those stories.
How weird was that?
Who knows?
And his name was nowhere in any of this talk at the beginning with the Saudis and Monahan and everything. Nothing about Greg Norman.
Well, he said the spigots are open to bring in major sponsors and TV deals and all this. Yep. Yeah, maybe he's going to try to save Liv on his own because Monahan, now he reports to Monahan after this new co is formed, which right now nothing has changed. Everything is operating as business as usual right now.
And they're saying that'll be the case, both Liv and PJ having their events, U.S. Open coming up, and everything else schedule-wise will continue for at least – till 24 or the end of 24 or I mean the end of 23
into 23
this year and we'll see how that plays out. That's another 6 months of whatever may, you know, come through the ringer, and we're going to see how it plays out. But yeah, and people had said certainly that Norman probably is going to have to step aside if this is all going to work. There's been so much animosity, maybe even Monahan and
Monahan
need to step aside so that they can kind of get clear paths to whatever this is all going to be down the road, because those two were major opponents to each other, right?
I had access.
They did not like each other. They said bad words. They said this. It was brutal. You brought in 9/11 into it. You brought in all kinds
families,
of stuff.
The families,
yes, and so there's been a lot of water under the dam, and some of it may not be fixed. And that could be both Monahan and Norman. And then we'll see what goes.
That dam's
up. But something's going to get washed out here.
That dam's a lot like that dam in the Ukraine that was bombed. It was a disaster.
Flooded everything.
Everything.
And so now the water is what we're seeing.
Yeah.
The
I had access to what was going on in that player meeting, believe it or not. And then I was kind of listening to some stuff. And Monahan's resignation was called for multiple times with standing ovations every time.
This is a player meeting with Monahan where he basically told everybody, hey, in case you haven't found out yet on Twitter, here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And almost booze in the room.
Oh, Lord. Vulgarity. I mean, calling him names.
And Rory got into it with a couple of players. So there's that animosity, too, that within their own faction of the PGA, they're not only against Monahan and mad about that, mad at Rory, and Rory's ripping on some lesser players, if you will, and telling them in one case, which sounds terrible, and I'm saying, Rory, I've said this for a while, Frank. I said two things. I said, they're going to merge. There's going to be something that's going to get it together, and Rory needs to back off and quit being the face of all this, because sure enough, in that meeting, there were some F-bombs thrown at Rory
from
other PGA members about him being Mr. Big Swinging, you know
what? Told him to shut the F up several times. Rory, you just need to shut the F up.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so
where's and it's all affected his game, folks. Believe it or not, it really has. You've seen it. You saw the what did he do yesterday in the Canadian RBC Canadian Open? Okay, you saw it the week before. You saw it previously in some of his performances.
He's not finishing. Like he needs to be able to finish.
We're going to bring in Rodney King in the next segment to Can't We Just All Get Along segment.
Seriously,
I mean, they can't. When you're talking about the kind of money we're talking
and
about,
That's not even Live Tour against PGA. That's within PGA Tour of those guys who said, okay,
family fight.
We're sticking together. We're not going to live. We're all going to be part of, okay, hey, we're all good. Kumbaya. And now they get a meeting just five days ago, and those guys all blow up to each other. So it's like, okay, what happens at the U.S. Open coming up in L.A.? Yeah. Are some of those guys going to get a little angry with the Liv guys? And then the whole reparations part of this, if you will.
It's going to be
we
great.
We didn't go to Liv. We want money, right?
That ain't happening.
And they're saying we want Phil to pay a penalty. That's not going to happen.
They can't charge penalties. There's laws against that.
They keep throwing this stuff out there, Frank. Like this is going to happen. I'm going, are you kidding me? Are you really thinking that somebody that's in the Saudi family is going to say, hey, Rory, thanks for all the negative comments, but because you didn't choose to come with us when you had a perfect right to, you could have taken a lot of money, but you chose not to. Now you think you're going to get money?
But you can't come to the embassy for dinner tomorrow night. So
unbelievable.
You probably, after that statement, need to take a break.
It's crazy what's going on. But anyway, love to talk about it. Okay, we will take a break. And Mark Zucchino, I'm sure he'll have a few hot opinions. The Canadian himself, to talk more about the drama, and not to throw that, you know, kind of under the bus behind what's going on with LIV Tour. It's just so much drama with the LIV PGA, but a lot of drama up in Toronto. And congratulations to Nick Taylor. So we'll talk about the Canadian Open and how it finished and the drama there and everything else with our good friend Mark Zucchino when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
Forget lessons. Forget changing your swing. PXG Gen 5 golf clubs will unlock your potential and help you play your best golf ever in just one round. Built with PXG's most innovative materials and updated with new head shapes to suit every skill set, PXG Gen 5 clubs deliver cannon-like distance, laser-like accuracy, and angelic forgiveness. Order your Gen 5 clubs today at PXG.com or schedule a fitting at 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Do it today.
It is 72 and a half feet. He knows what this does in the last 18 feet. Swing of the putter. Comes up with some speed. Now up the rise. For the eagle. For the win. To the cup. Take it. Yes! 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 The drought is over! The drought is over! Nick Taylor with the eagle, the 2023 RBC Canadian Open champion! History! History! 500 FedEx Cup points! Two-year exemption! He's an icon now in this country!
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews, Frank
Love
Bassett.
Love it!
And the man with no voice, Mark Zucchino, you just heard on the call there on PGA Tour Radio to join us. Mark, good job on that one. Did you get a little excited?
I barely have a voice left, guys. I don't think I've ever been that excited in my entire life. It's just so hard to put into words just the emotion and the atmosphere around that 18th green. Just thousands and thousands of people, and anyone who is anyone in the Canadian golf world for the last 20 years, ready to pounce on that green, players, Golf Canada officials, all of Canada's golf media. I've just never really felt anything like it. I've got to fly to Los Angeles for your national championship this afternoon. And I told my wife, I don't think I need a plane. I'm just going to flap my arms. I'm pretty sure I could get that.
It was a great call, Mark. And it was, I was texting you in the middle of your coverage yesterday because it was exciting. All the calls. I mean, when he made the birdie on 17 and then the birdie on 18 and then the playoff. And it was really exciting. Tim said something, Mark, earlier in the first segment. He said, basically, it was a 70-plus foot putt. So it was almost a putt for every year of the drought, the 69-year drought. It was a putt that had a
crazy
foot. Yeah.
That is crazy. And someone else texted me, and this never crossed my mind either. Someone else texted me last night saying, 72 feet, 1972 Summit Series, Canada versus the Soviet Union. You know, the hockey battle that in this country was the biggest thing, you know, ever at the time, with Paul Henderson scoring the winning goal to take down the Soviet Union. I mean, there's so many people that are tying this to weird things. People relating it to Sidney Crosby and the golden goal at the Olympics. I mean, Canada's losing it a little, and it's still this morning. I've never woken up to my phone like this ever in my life. They ran the call and the moment on Golf Central last night, and then this morning ESPN Sports Center ran it, and I had no idea, of course, that any of this was occurring. I woke up and I went, why do I have, you know, 1,000 notifications on my phone? What is going on here? And just the whole last 24 hours have been completely overwhelming, to be honest with you. You know, Nick is such a great guy. You know, he's a friend. And the last 3-4 hours, it felt like I was in knots in my stomach as he hit every shot and made every putt. And you know, it was just, it was tough. It was tough to actually be a part of. And I asked him in the post-round interview, I just was point blank. I mean, I'm sick to my stomach. How are you able to do that? Knowing you've got 35 million people that, you know, who are starved for a Canadian Open winner, knowing what we know, those guys have been asked the question. He was number one amateur golfer in the world, Nick Taylor, many moons ago, close to about 15 years ago now. And the questions that these guys have gotten over the years, you know, every time we pull up to the Canadian Open, whether it was Glen Abbey, Hamilton, St. George's, Angus Glen, it didn't matter, Shaughnessy, it didn't matter when. So when is a Canadian going to win the Canadian Open? It's the same as like Rory. Is this the year you take the green jacket and take the monkey off your back? It's the same thing to every Canadian in the field every year. It was almost starting to become just too big an elephant in the room. 69 years, a long time. And knowing all that and just having to carry that around with you, I asked him, how were you able to do this? And he just said, I don't know, but for some reason, he felt this crazy calmness in a time when you shouldn't, and was able to take that crowd and feel it as support. Because you guys know, some guys feel it as support and some guys just feel it as pressure. And quite often, to most people, it's too much pressure versus home crowd support. And he was able to do it. What a day.
Yeah, what an exciting close. And Tim, I haven't told you this yet, but I was going to go ahead and ask Mark. I need that security guard's contact information because I'm close with our team here, the Tennessee Titans, and we need a linebacker, and he made a play on Nick. I mean, not on Nick, on Adam. He came around the corner, and I thought he had hurt him. He flattened him.
Well, to explain that, Frank, for people that didn't see that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So all these Canadians, Mike Weir and Adam Hadwin and Connors and different guys, all come onto the green, and obviously they're right around the green when Taylor made the putt, and they're all screaming and going crazy. And Adam Hadwin somehow finds a bottle. Why wouldn't he? He's Canadian. Finds a bottle of champagne or beer or something, and he's doing the whole, shaking the bottle and getting it to square. And as he's doing that on the green, a security guy comes running right around the caddy and Nick Taylor and tackles slammed him literally down to the ground. And people are all of a sudden turn around going like this, and including Nick Taylor's caddy are running over to kind of help Hadwin go, hey, wait, he's with us. And they let him up and everything turned out to be fine. But it was pretty hilarious because he took him to the ground. And all he was shaking up a bottle of champagne. But I guess he thought he was a regular fan or something like that. Were you around when that was happening, Mark?
I was 10 feet from that as Amanda Renner, excuse me, I almost used her maiden name. Amanda Renner and I were kind of rushing towards Nick because we got to do the interview on immediately on the green in a playoff versus waiting and doing it in the interview area. And I was running up too. I grabbed Nick and just gave him a hug before Amanda could even get to him. So I was hugging him. His caddy was hugging him. A couple other friends and family and golf media all hugging him. And while this is going on, it's the best spear I've seen since Bill Goldberg in the late 90s of WCW wrestling.
I got to tell you, if I had been there, I would have...
You almost snapped him in half. Unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah, it was tough. Listen, if I had been there, because I know Amanda Ballionis Renner real well, as you do, we worked together for a long time, I would have run up and hugged Amanda. You know, that's just me.
That's a whole nother story.
She couldn't believe it. I mean, because she was obviously hanging out behind that 18th green and that 9th green for that one playoff hole of the four. She was back there with the Canadian contingent, and myself there in that little group of about 300 people, by the way, inside the ropes behind the green with 20,000 surrounding the hole. She was there, and kept looking at her reaction and her, and she was like, this is nuts. She's looking around like, I don't think anybody, I don't think any of our American friends that were up covering the Canadian Open were anticipating that moment or how that was going to play out. And the only thing I'm going to say is, you know, if they did anticipate it, then they've probably had beer and rye during a Canadian hockey game, and then they knew what was coming. Other than that, they didn't know what was coming.
And I do want to say this, too, because this was hilarious, and maybe you guys both saw this, but Adam Hadwin's wife tweeted afterwards that this is classic. She tweeted afterwards, she said, after everybody found out that Adam got tackled and the whole thing, and she says, in typical Canadian fashion, Adam got up and apologized to the security guard for having to be tackled. It's like, it's so classic. Yeah, he apologized. I'm sorry you had to tackle me, sir. Oh, God.
That is great. Jessica, his wife, is awesome. I don't know if you guys follow her on Twitter, but she is a riot, and she is constantly poking fun at Adam. So I'm sure she's not going to let this go.
That was so funny. As a good Canadian, he had to apologize for being tackled by the security. Hey, Mark,
that was a big security guard. That was a big guy.
Than somebody winning the Stanley Cup tonight, possibly? I mean, in Canada, the Stanley Cup's kind of everything, even if it's not a Canadian team. This, I assume, last night, yesterday, is going to trump no matter what happens in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, I think, we have a drought in the Stanley Cup Finals as well. You know, obviously, as a Canadian team getting it done, I can't even remember. I think it was early 90s, the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. So,
Oh, no.
Did that security guy, Frank?
That security guy tackled Mark.
He tackled Mark. He took him down. He's 2-for-2.
Let's get him back.
About your tryout.
Let's just dial him right there.
I don't know why the call dropped, guys.
We thought the security guard tackled you.
We thought he got
you. Just want to pick it up there? Do you want me to pick it up with the answer?
Yeah, we're still rolling. Just keep go ahead. We're rolling.
All right. Well, I was just saying, you know, we have a Stanley Cup drought. It's been several years there for Canadians in the Stanley Cup. In this particular city, you know, the Leafs haven't won since 67. So Leaf fans are like, you know, how Cubs fans used to feel, etc. So I would say that, yeah, there is nothing that is going to happen in this country this year or possibly this decade that is going to eclipse what happened yesterday. It'll be the Canadian story of the year. Nick Taylor will be the Canadian athlete of the year, which is the Lou Marsh Award winner, which we hand out at the end of the year here north of the border. I mean, I meant it. He has gone from well-liked PGA Tour star to Canadian sports icon in one day.
Good for him.
You have gone from PGA Tour Golf Talk America, Golf Talk Canada host, Golf Talk America guest a lot, and PGA Tour Radio to Celebrity of the Year for the Call of the Year.
I don't know about that.
That should win the Call of the Year.
15 minutes, Frank, and then get right back to work with my nose down.
Well, Nick, how do you think Nick's going to – I mean, wow, coming off of this fabulous victory, I mean, absolutely mind-boggling. Now, regroup.
It's going to be hard, Frank, for him to play this week.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him being able to focus now and play the U.S. Open because he got on a plane just like everybody else. I think we've got 5 or 6 Canadians in the field at the U.S. Open. I got to double check and read some notes on my way to L.A., but I think we've got 5 or 6. He's one of them. They all flew out late last night, most of them together. I mean, how are they going to focus, especially Nick? I have no idea.
And Adam, somebody posted today also a picture of Adam and said that he's out because he has a shoulder separation injury. And,
seriously.
And Twitter, the way he tackled him, he went down flat, it looked like. Thank God. If that big guy fell on him, or saw him fall on him, if he had hit his shoulder, it could have very well hurt him.
badly. Frank, he's Canadian. Hey, come on.
He is. He's tough.
They get hit all the time.
He's tough.
That's the way it works.
I don't know how he's going to do it. It's going to be, I know, this was the first time the RBC Canadian Open was played on this golf course, and it was very different, right, Mark? I mean, they were worried that it wouldn't play as tough, but it did.
We were all worried about it, if we're being honest and transparent, guys. We were all worried about it, especially coming off of St. George's and Hamilton, which, with the exception of Cabot Cliffs and Cabot Links, which is on the very east coast of Canada, and that's more like visiting Ireland than it is visiting Canada, so it's almost a bit of an outlier. With the exception of that facility out at Cabot, it's arguably the two best golf courses in Canada. Hamilton Golf and Country Club and St. George's Golf Club. You would have to put, the National Golf Club of Canada in there, which is a Tom Fazio golf course just north of the city, and Shaughnessy out in British Columbia, certainly in that conversation. And there's others as well. But from a Canadian Open professional golf standpoint, I think it's Hamilton 1A and St. George's 1B. And everybody was nervous about this composite layout at Oakdale because, 27 holes, they used a bit of each nine. The routing was a little adventurous, let's just say. The 18th hole was quirky. We were talking about how quirky the 18th hole was.
Hitting an iron.
Par five that you can't hit driver on, and that creek that cuts it off. But boy, you know what? It showed so well. And that quirky, stupid par five finisher that we're all complaining about instead ended up being an incredible playoff hole.
Added to the drama.
You could have got anything on that hole. You could have had any score. And boy, did we misjudge that golf hole.
Yeah, it was seeing Fleetwood pull an iron. It was a three or four, I think a four iron he hit off the tee box on 18 twice.
Yeah, then in the playoff and missed the fairway a couple times. Couldn't even get to the fairway.
I was like, what in the world is he thinking? And he put it in the suit.
The drama. Yeah, that whole definitely
very
ended.
Very dramatic.
By the way, we're joined by Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio and a proud Canadian on this day, a day that will live in infamy in the lives of the upper North Americans. And it was drama like you can't believe. And you mentioned, Frank, the Tommy Fleetwood. My heart kind of goes out to Tommy Fleetwood. He left it all out there. He was doing everything he could. It was four holes into a playoff. A lot of drama going back and forth. You could see the nerves for both of them not hitting great shots, but they were hanging in there. And when that putt sank, which you saw him kind of walking in thinking, okay, he's going to get this closer, and he kept walking in, and the putt goes in, he wins. I mean, that was a drama already set up. An eagle would win it. And he just turned and smiled over at Taylor, which was,
he's a class guy.
Great sportsman. Yeah, he really is. Tommy Fleetwood. Really is. And, but it was a tough moment for him because he was that close to winning his first PGA Tour event. So it was a lot of drama on his side that he was right there, ready to do it. He did such a great job at the end of regulation to get into the playoffs. So, I got to be honest, Mark, I had friends that never call me about golf calling me yesterday. Go, are you watching this? I go, yeah, I'm watching this. I always watch. You never watch. They were calling. They're like, they can't believe this. Stupid Canadian Open. Oh, my God. What's nuts? And so it was, I think the whole world of golf was fascinated by this. It speaks well to Canada, and it also speaks well to the voices of a lot of you Canadians who know your national anthem. I'm very proud of those Canadians that can all sing O Canada every chance they got.
And Dennis Paulson and Carl Paulson can also attest that the Canadians also know all the words to the United States national anthem because we've had to sing it a couple of years when we've gone down in defeat in our Canada-U.S. Ryder Cups. So they're very impressed with our knowledge of all national anthems.
It is a skill.
By the way, Golf Talk Canada and Golf Talk America, sister shows, right? We all started all this stuff early on. And is there going to be a Can-Am this year?
There is. I don't believe there is going to be. I think it's a scheduling nightmare at the moment. I think it might be my fault. I've said too much. I've said yes to too many things. So I think that's the problem, to be honest with you. We were thinking of doing it in October, late September, but I'll be heading to Rome because, yes, I'm Canadian. but I'm also Italian, as you gentlemen know. So
yes.
I'm not missing a Ryder Cup on Roman soil. Are you kidding me? Like, that ain't happening. It'd be the first time ever in my career where walking with a bottle of Brunello during work is not going to be frowned upon.
Mark, I'm a pro at that. Mine's Glenlivet.
Yeah, I mean, I can't turn down that opportunity to get paid to drink red wine. Are you kidding me?
No.
And John McGinnis, the only guy I know that doesn't own a shirt without a red wine spill on it, will probably that's endearing. We love John. He's a friend. But he'll probably be there. I may or may not be there. I'm not sure. I don't know. Tim probably won't leave the country. I don't think you can get your passport back yet, can you, Tim?
Good one, Frank. Good one. No,
Mark,
can't be doing
great
that.
Great job, buddy. I mean, we've been friends, Mark, a long time, and you do a fabulous job out there. And you make it exciting. I mean, you make golf calling exciting. Love it.
Thanks, guys. Love my job and just bringing it honestly. That's all. I'm a fan. It was hard not to be a fan yesterday. That is true.
No kidding. One word though, Mark, before I let you go, since you're involved and you're on the tour all the time, walking, talking with these guys around, comment you have on the LIV tour, PGA tour, merger talks, everything before you head to the US Open, which there'll be more drama there, maybe more about that than the golf. What are you thinking about all this in the last week?
I'm more confused than anything else, in
Thank
the sense
you.
That I think yeah. I'm left with more questions than answers. And I think, unfortunately for us, it's probably going to take, you know, 4, 5, 6 months to get the answers that we're all looking for. What's the PGA Tour schedule look like next year? Does LIV Golf play on dark days? Do we have opposite field events, tournaments against LIV events, if they're going to be sprinkled out throughout the calendar? Does LIV Golf exist post FedEx Cup and they play their entire season September, October, November, December? Because the one thing that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is Jay Monahan was asked one question last week on Canadian soil that kind of caught my attention. And someone asked him very quickly, can you see a schedule where LIV Golf and PGA Tour play on the same weekend together?
Yeah.
And he said, no. So he said, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to compete together on the same weekend. Now, was he talking about, you know, just regular events, designated events? What was he talking about? Yeah. Would he put an opposite field event against a LIV event? Or was he alluding to the fact, or alluding to a conversation that maybe LIV Golf is just going to live post FedEx Cup and the PGA Tour is going to reimagine their fall schedule for like the seventh time? Because we keep reimagining what happens after the FedEx Cup. So I'm with you guys. So many questions, just a bunch of guesswork, caught everybody off guard. And I will say this. It's the second year in a row the Canadian Open was kind of hijacked by LIV Golf because Dustin Johnson left in the middle of the night like the Baltimore Colts last year.
the Tennessee Titans.
Houston Oilers. Yeah, it was unbelievable. The face of RBC Golf leaves in the middle of the night, hijacks the national championship.
Texas and then, trophy.
This year, it looked like it was going to be the same thing. Tuesday morning, the biggest golf news story of the year breaks right before our national championship. So, you know what? It's going to be a ton of conversation. It gives us a lot to talk about. We're all going to be interested in what unfolds over the next 5 to 6 months. But Sunday, the golf world needed Sunday to have a moment that was celebratory and not pure, and the sportsmanship from Tommy Fleetwood and the pure joy from that the sport brought the people, it feels like all over the world, it makes us forget about all the BS for that moment in time. Healing. Sunday's healing. And I hope we can just move that now to LA and just do it all again Sunday night with some similar type of celebration in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you're right about that. And golf, once again, takes over the golf world instead of the political and backroom dealings of what's going on in golf. It would be nice to see. And I agree with you. It's going to be months and months and months of people speculating and comments that get turned right around and said, oh, I thought you said this. Well, now this is what's – we don't know. Crystal ball. But, Mark, thank you so much for your time as always. Have a good flight with or without a plane out to L.A. this, this afternoon. And we'll be listening to you on the call there as well and hopefully have you on again real soon here on Golf Talk America.
Thanks a lot, guys. All the best. Have a great week and enjoy your national championship this week. Thanks for having me.
We'll be talking. Thank you. Take care, buddy. Tell your beautiful bride we all said hello.
Will do, boys.
See you, pal.
Frank, you always have to throw a female part into everything, don't you?
Well, they make the world go round.
It's
my friend.
Who you got to hug? Who are you going to hug?
Well, Amanda. Amanda's been a great friend for years.
Not somebody who made the pot, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, Mark hugged Nick. I saw that.
You could tell by the call that it was much more than just another golf tournament. Oh. Right? Like you or I might have called it. It would have been exciting and great and all that. You could tell it was the pent-up frustration of a Canadian trying to say, okay, here we go. We don't do an awful lot on the national stage as far as whatever goes in Canada. We're kind of pushed aside a lot. This is our chance. And he got it. And it was – he may not – get another Canadian to win it in his lifetime. So it was a very special moment. You can tell it on his call.
Yeah, by the way, he lives in Toronto. And it was a home game for him. So so now he's on his way out to L.A. And
what do you think about L.A.? Let's talk about the Canadian.
Well, let me tell you how much the hotel rooms are around L.A. Country Club. $1,500 a night.
Well, that's part of the issue too, Frank, is the golf course that they're playing on has never hosted a major like this. This is L.A. Country Club we're talking about, and it's tucked away in the foothills of Beverly Hills off of Wilshire Boulevard. I mean, unless you know where it is, you wouldn't know it, right? You don't know.
Very exclusive.
They're not into the matter of fact. They're kind of almost anti-celebrity. They don't have a lot of celebrity members as you might think they would around there. They really don't. Even the story goes, and this is of course it's over 100 years old, built in like 1911, I believe. That Bing Crosby lived on the golf course for a lot of. They never invited Bing. Of all the great golfers you think and happen to be a celebrity, they never invited Bing. Lionel Richie lives on the golf. He's not a member. The Playboy Mansion and Hugh Hefner is right there off of 14. He tried to be. They didn't want him as a member.
Is that why they keep that heart attack machine on 14 for the older players? That
for them
when the girls are laying by the pool
as they go past the mansion. So it's a weird kind of thing that you would think LA, thrives on celebrity. This course doesn't.
It's a very exclusive club.
Everybody's like, where are you? You're going to have to park in Santa Monica and take a 45-minute bus ride to get to this course. So the logistics seem to be very confusing for people, not the golfers. They'll be fine to get in and out, but it's going to be interesting to see how this course can accommodate. It's, I think, the third course in the last 7-8 years that a U.S. Open has hosted, or 10 years, for the first time ever, a major tournament that they're having a U.S. Open. So they're trying to broaden it. I get that. They're trying not to always go to Shinnecock and Oak Hill and stuff, right?
Pinehurst and Erin Hills.
Pebble and the same courses 8 times, 9 times, 10 times. So
yet they're going to do that if you look at the schedule starting next year at Pinehurst. Yeah. And so anyway.
Go back.
Yeah, it will. But this country club has rules that are so stringent. I mean, you can't wear shorts. Yeah. Okay, you can't wear shorts. No hats in the club. Jacket after 5. I mean, it is a pure high-end, old money, old school country club.
Yeah.
And a beautiful, beautiful place. But I made the decision not to. I played it once with with a member, friend of my dad's at the time. But I'll tell you, I made the decision this weekend to not go. I had lined up my hotel and airline and all that, and I canceled it all. I don't want to be out there in the middle of all that because it's going to be so difficult. We can cover it better. I talked to several media people that will cover it for us, so we'll be getting live reports from LA Country
Club.
Better
from Nashville.
You do?
From LA.
Well, the access we have in the media and all that. I mean, we get FTP sites and speed.
I mean, I've never been there. Everything I've read says it's a very challenging place to be hosting something like this. Now, will it have a great – sure, once you're inside the ropes and you're playing golf, it probably will be phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's just going to be logistically, like I said, for fans and different people to get around, it's going to be probably a real challenge to do it. But here we go again with you've got a mix, and it seems like I love it how they've got 1 month, 1 month, Masters, and a PGA Championship and a U.S. Open, you know, one after another, they seem to keep coming. And here we are with another major. And sure enough, there's going to be, I think, 14, 15, 16 current live players that'll be playing here. They seem to all get along, and no real stories came out of Augusta, or did they come out of Oak Hill, right? So as far as the majors go, everybody seemed to get along and play good together in the sandbox. I assume that'll be the same, although now there's more coming out, right? Now there's more feistiness, if you will, because some are really ticked off that there's this merger. Some are going, what the hell? Why did I not take money? I was being told this, and now all of a sudden. So I don't know. Is it going to be interesting on the driving range of, you know, who says hi to who?
It'd be more interesting in a couple of the local pubs. So local bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta, it's contentious right now because.
Well, here's what's interesting too. Frank, I noticed this. The day after the merger happens, right? Last week, I go to PGAtour.com. There is nothing about any of that happening with the Live Tour, PGA Tour, and everything until you scroll and get about halfway down the page before you see anything. And I thought, well, that is interesting for someone, as Monahan was talking to everybody about, hey, this is going to be great, and we're going to do all this stuff for golf, and putting that face on, they sure didn't show it on the website that it wasn't front page, if you know what I mean. So,
well, we've all had our issues with that website and where the podcast lived and all that kind of stuff too. So the website is managed. I won't get into all that. Our listeners don't care about that. But we've all had our issues with that website. When they changed
what I'm saying
it,
is you'd think if it was that big a deal and that positive,
a big banner,
that would be front and center in big 3-inch letters on their website. Hey, here's what's going on. We're all together now. But there wasn't. So
we almost played Happy Days Are Here Again. It's the intro to the show today.
Yeah.
But nah.
Well.
Because we don't know.
There's a lot of, I totally agree with Mark, and that is that we got a lot more questions than answers, and we won't know. Even things that Monahan is saying, that's part of the frustration, I guess, of this, is while he talks about will there be competing tournaments. Well, first of all, how do you not have some go back-to-back? If indeed the PGA Tour and Live Tour are going to coexist, you can't have all. PGA Tour has, 43 events? You know, there aren't many weeks left where there's a PGA Tour event that the Live Tour would go.
There's a lot of thought that Live may go away.
Some are saying that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, matter of fact, Rory even said that. I don't know how Live, remember how he said that?
And he said, I hate Live.
Once again, very dramatic. And to me, way over the top for Rory.
Hey, shut up.
I mean, I hate Live. Going, man, really? Here we go. Right. You keep saying this stuff. And
open
somebody's going
to
ask you at one point when you first get your paycheck, that's going to come from the Saudi fund. Rory, how are you putting that money
in
your
bank?
Maybe
not that, but Monahan's the CEO. Who will be the commissioner of the PGA Tour? That's my question. We don't know that. So,
I think the colors of all of this, if you will, are going to change dramatically.
Oh yeah,
by this fall even.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see.
And what do we do with the LPGA? They're hanging out there by themselves now.
Well, there's
a co-marketing agreement with the PGA Tour and the LPGA. It makes sense that the LPGA may end up kind of rolling up under this thing.
Maybe.
And then all of golf in the world is under one umbrella, NUCO, whatever they're going to name it.
Well, and again, I hate to say this because it seems so, not trite, but like we don't all want to think that our world all revolves around money. But boy, doesn't it seem like, Frank, every time something big happens, it always comes down to money?
Well,
like it's always going to be about the money. And here we are, and people had complaints about where this money was coming from and on and on. And yet, who wins? Well, right now, the big money talks. And
the
big money's like, okay, we got to keep doing what we're doing, and we got more money than anybody. We can do it.
Nobody talks about the fact that we have a big tournament in Saudi Arabia. The DP World Tour, DP is a United Arab Emirates company, DP. Aramco, the oil company, OPEC, who controls the pricing of oil in the world, and we all put oil or gas in our cars. And guess what? To make electricity to charge your hybrid or electric car, you gotta use oil to do that.
So, I mean, you're
so,
right.
So, you know, in a lot
part
of cases.
Of our world. That's why it always seemed hypocritical to me that people are saying this, because and I'll go back to the quote from I think it's Claude Harmon who said it when he was talking about Randall Chambly complaining on and on about the Saudi money and all this kind of stuff. And his point was, hey, NBC, which owns Golf Channel, which employs Randall Chambly, as far as I know, NBC paid billions of dollars to both Russia and China to host, to put on Olympics, to be televising the Olympic Games. So, okay, it's okay to work in conjunction with Russia and China, but suddenly the Saudis, are, I mean, it was, there's a lot of hypocrisy about all that. Like,
there
who
is.
Do you like?
There is.
And as I've said to you before, if you go outside of our country, where we all think we're the shining armor, great America, and all, you go outside of our country, a lot of people look at us and think we're a little bit dirty. And we do some things that other countries aren't crazy about. So it's the world we live in, right? I mean, everybody kind of has to get along, and we do fight and back and forth, but I just always found it curious why one country stood out as the demon country, and yet other countries kind of got away with whatever they were doing. Yeah. So, it's like I said, it's the money. Money happens, and I guess it doesn't matter where it comes
and
from.
And it's sad. It's come to all this, and you know, I'm not endorsing Saudi Arabia. I'm not endorsing Russia, China. I'm a citizen of the United States, carry a United States passport. I love our country. I love what we stand for, what our Constitution stand for. I don't like a lot of the things that we do in this country.
Right. We come up short a lot. Yeah, every country does, right? We all try to do what's best, but you don't think you look at our country, and I'm get off my soapbox. You don't look at our country and think every day, if you read papers, website, we don't have issues. Every day there's some protest about this and somebody did this to that person. So there's always stuff going on, right? So it's not like we're this pure little country that.
And it's always been that way.
You do your
best. Since the beginning of time.
You do what you can.
Adam and Eve fought, for God's sake.
Yes. So, I think at some point that's what all these guys are coming to realization. And maybe Phil came to that realization 2 years ago. And maybe Rory's going to come to that. That we're all trying to do the best we can and see what we can. And, you know, you can't fight City Hall. And at some point, PJ Tour could not keep going down that very expensive road of fighting the Saudi fund.
They does Liv spin off? And we'll quit talking about this after this. But does Liv spin off and become a separate tour again?
Don't know, yeah.
Does Greg Norman get enough backers to?
Yeah.
He can't afford to pay the players what they're getting paid.
I mean, Norman's.
And those contracts are 4-year agreements with those guys. Right. So what happens with that? There's just a million questions.
But there's got to be legalese. I mean, I'm sure all those guys, DeChambeau and Phil and all those guys, have smart enough attorneys and people that looked at it and said, okay, what if indeed, as I predicted months and months ago, there's going to be a merger? They said the same thing. Our money's still good, right? You're not going to stop paying us. You're not. No,
yeah, trust us. It'll be good. All, yeah, trust us.
So yeah, I would think, and it's a drop in the bucket to the, you know, $700 billion fund. And by the way, Lionel Messi turned down his money. You saw that, right? So in the same thing of what this PIF is doing, this fund, the Saudi fund, they're trying to buy soccer players, right? Ronaldo.
Messi turned down his money?
He turned down $400 million, Messi did, to sign with AC Miami.
Yeah.
So that he could play in the MLS. So,
and you saw the ticket prices in Miami go from two,
crazy.
Didn't you?
Yeah,
nuts.
Go crazy so they could watch Messi. So my point is they're putting money into a lot of different things. They do horse racing. They bought artwork. They're trying to, the Saudi government, Saudi family, is trying to do more than just oil, right? At some point realizing
maybe they've got to diversify.
We can't, so we're doing other things. We're going to buy leagues, if you will, soccer leagues and whatever it might be. So this is not the only thing they're doing is golf and Live Tour. They're doing a lot with all that money.
Yep.
Some of it works. Some of it doesn't. Somebody takes it. Somebody doesn't. But I think that's why the DeChambeaus and those guys said, okay, well, this is going to probably be inevitable. If they want to get into golf, by God, they're going to buy their way into golf. And sure enough, here they are.
Well, if I had that kind of money, I might buy a team like the Dallas Cowboys, for instance. Okay.
Don't you worry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jerry, what's your number?
Yeah,
I'll double it.
Hey, Jerry. Yeah.
Like, how much do you want?
I don't know.
You can't pay me.
Hey, you know, you think we might even have to do another show this week to really talk about the U.S. Open. I know Todd wants to come on the show. Mark's going to come back on from L.A. And some other folks that I've talked to since I'm not going to be on property. And so we'll do a show later in the week for our listeners talking about the U.S. Open. And maybe wait a little bit and get into it a little bit, maybe Thursday, Friday, whatever, and see what's happened because they're all getting there last night or today.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll cover the fight. The security guard, I think, is from Canada's flying out. He's going to be on Rory's team.
playing for the Hamilton Tiger Cats next weekend. Starting defensive end. That's a heck of a sack.
Man, he came around. I mean, he had moves a defensive end.
He did.
He came around.
That's what he looked like.
Oh my
God. He came around that tackle.
Yeah.
Came around, gave him dropped his left knee, came inside. Great technique.
It was great technique. Maybe he was a Canadian football player.
And somebody's got to have a picture of Hadwin when it happened. His eyes must bulge out like, what is this guy doing taking me to the ground? Because he didn't just grab him like you would think.
No, he tackled him.
Hey, buddy, if he thought he was a fan from out of the stands, which apparently he did.
He took him down.
He didn't just kind of like, hey, and he grabbed him by the shoulder. He just took him down.
God. Yeah. That was a great move.
His wife is hilarious. Hadwin's wife, and he apologized.
He apologized.
Sorry, having to be tackled. I'm sorry you had to tackle me.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to send Vrabel that clip.
I'm sorry, hey?
Mike Vrabel, our head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Mike, I think you need to sign this guy.
Need somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. Mark Zucchino was a pistol. Yeah, the interview that we don't have time to play today, but there's a great interview, and maybe we'll play it on a subsequent show, where he apologizes. He said, no, he didn't apologize. Well, he kind of did. He said, I guess you never thought you'd get hugged by a PGA Tour radio announcer.
Yeah. You're allowed one.
Yeah.
Really? Media, you're supposed to say stay unbiased, right? And he was a little bit biased. He was a little bit pro-Canadian there, but yeah.
Can you see the executive producer's conversation to Mark? And we won't say names, but the executive producer of PGA Tour Radio's conversation, Mark, you're not supposed to be biased. I remember we used to get that in our ear. Remember? We get that stuff. Frank, you can't say that.
I think he's allowed once every 69 years. So 69 years from now, he'll get to do it again.
Guess what? Everybody loved it. He is. He was on the morning shows this morning. I mean, Jesus, criminy. So Zucchino needs to get an agent immediately.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that.
It'll come and go.
we all know that trick, don't we?
Yeah, don't forget about it next week. It won't matter.
Anyway.
All right, buddy, we're out of here. Let's do it. Roll some music. We had a great
show.
What
kind of music? That was
a
good show.
Check out Invited, by the way. Invited.
Yes.
One of the great companies in the U.S. Used to be Club Corp, now Invited. Go to invited.com. Find out if you can get a club membership near you. You can kick the tires a little bit, check them out. And once you get into one, you have privileges at over 250 clubs and dinner clubs, country clubs all around the country. Invited.com. Thank you to Mark Zucchino for joining us, and be sure to listen to PGA Tour Radio. They'll be doing the call, Zucchino and the boys, for the U.S. Open. And Frank and I will be back later this week to talk a little bit more about what's going on out in L.A. In the meantime, for Frank, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for joining us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.